pastors away, and it's a blessing for me to get to do a little exercise. You may not think getting up here is exercise, but when I go home dead tired, my wife, Sunday night, I don't know which one of us was more sore. But God is good, amen? And always the Word of God is always good, regardless of us. Yeah, the Word of God is always good. And so tonight we're going to be in a lot of different passages, if you see all these little things. And so I know I'm going to try and give them to you fast. You listen fast. I'll try to read fast. I try not to go to them too fast, because when I say turn to and I'm reading it before you even get your Bible open, pastors have a bad habit of doing that, if you haven't noticed that. You know why? Because we've already got them marked. We already got ours marked, so we just flip open and we're reading before you even get your Bible open. Anyway, that's a bad habit we got. We'll work on that. So a lot of scripture, and I pray you'll write it down. I pray that you'll go home and read it again and double check, as we talked about this Sunday, about the Bereans, and check the scriptures, and search them daily to make sure that it's so. If they would go to the extreme of checking out Paul, you better check out Brother Guffey, because I didn't write any scripture, and Paul wrote half the Old New Testament. All right, so we're going to be in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Oh, I thought I had figured this out, but you know, we're talking tonight about how does God speak? How did God speak? Does God speak to men? And if he does, how does he do it? And how did he do it? We know that, especially those in the Cornerstone class, as we study through Genesis, we know that God spoke to Adam in an audible voice. I mean, they walked together in the garden. What a great thought that is. Enoch and God walked together. Noah and God walked together. I mean, they're talking audibly. We know that Moses spoke to the Lord through the fiery bush. Different things, different times throughout the Bible in an audible voice. Men, even like Elijah, God spoke to him in a still small voice, and he had to shut up and listen to hear it. But after he quit whining and complaining, he heard God speak to him in a still small voice. Not in the earthquake, not in the fire, not in the wind, not in all the stuff. He said, now listen. Do you hear me? You got to listen sometimes to hear, don't you? And so how does God still speak to us? There is much false doctrine out there taught today throughout our community and our country and the world, and preaching and teaching on this very subject. Many cults are begun, I don't know whether I'm saying that right, by the lack of scriptural support for what they're teaching. And so I want us to see a lot of scripture for what I'm saying, so you don't think I'm making this up. One thing that's taken place since we have gotten the scripture is man's never stopped speaking. That's part of the problem. Man sometimes think God has stopped speaking, but it's because man hasn't shut up long enough to hear God speak and how God speaks. And the Bible says that for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Men just ramble, 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 ramble. But the Bible also says in Jeremiah, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Now you think about that for a minute. If we're just rambling on and ramble, 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 it says there every word. So, you know, and I can't remember, I didn't think this up, some other preacher friend of mine did, but it said, listen, if you and I are having a conversation, and we're talking about the weather, the football game, the whatever. But within 10 or 15 minutes, if we're not bringing up the Lord, we're having an idle conversation. I mean, we got to bring God up somewhere in there. I mean, he had to do with the weather. I mean, how do we have a conversation without talking about the Lord as a believer? And so there are some idle words that men do. Many times, again, as I said, man cannot understand God because he's speaking in a still small voice or in a different manner than a loud thundering, Adam, where art thou? I mean, it's not that kind of voice. But God does still speak to man. He says, be still and know that I am God. God, many times individuals have said, well, God just doesn't speak to me. The problem is they haven't opened their Bible in about who knows how long. They don't remember. They haven't actually paid attention when they were in church. They just sit there and fall asleep or they're thinking about what they're going to do for lunch. Or they're, you know what I'm saying. Their mind wanders too quickly. Our mind ought to not wander when we're talking about the Word of God. We ought to pay attention. We ought to give God our full attention. So, you know, if our mind is running around during church, while the Word of God is being preached, how do you expect to hear a still small voice? How do you expect God to speak to you? Because he doesn't say, Adam, where art thou? But he does still speak to man. God has spoken to us and is still speaking to us through the Word of God. And see here, let's read these first couple of verses. It says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, by the way we're in them, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. And I'd love to go read the whole chapter because I love Hebrews. How do you argue who Jesus is? Amen? Creator of the universe. Now, so these first couple of verses, oh, we got to read verse 3 anyway. I mean, how do you stop there? He made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now there's Jesus. Isn't that awesome? I mean, God is good. So we see there in verse 1 where it says, we're talking about how does God speak? How did God speak? It says there in the past, God who at sundry times, and that means, for no better word, piecemeal. In other words, God did not dump the whole enchilada on Moses and give him the entire New Old Testament. God revealed himself throughout the Old Testament, pointing towards Christ, and he didn't give it all at once. He didn't show himself all at once. I don't even think Adam understood some things that Moses was shown by God. When Moses said, who do I say sent me? And he said, I am that I am. That was God showing Moses another attribute of himself that maybe Adam didn't even have. I mean, God showing himself through times. Now listen, it's not still happening, by the way, and I'm going to get to that. But not all at once. Different times and in different portions. I mean, you could be Amos and write a little small book, or you could be Jeremiah and write a great big book. And so each prophet, God used differently. And it says there in divers manners. Now these are all Old Testament prophets. Remember, we're in verse 1. So in sundry times, not all at once, in different ways, and divers manners, different methods, different men, different styles. Now, and I don't have, well, I do. Well, I don't. Yes, I do. All right. I'm confused. But if I write my name on the back of this paper with this ballpoint pen, and I write Dennis Guffey, and then I take this marker and I write Dennis Guffey, they're not going to look the same, are they? They're not going to be the same color. They're going to be the same size. They're going to be different, aren't they? But who wrote them? I did. I still wrote them. I just used different instruments to do it with. And that's how we got our Bible. It's still the same God. It's still the same author. It's just done in different methods and styles. And boy, wouldn't that be something if one guy wrote that whole book? Whew, I'd run out of things to say in the first two chapters. But God, praise the Lord, God is the one. Amen. So God spoke to it in times past, verbally and audibly, with some men in the Old Testament. But this verse, verse 1 says, He spoke in times past to our fathers by the prophets. Now here's a whole lot of false doctrine and cults come out of this. There are no New Testament, there are no prophets today, by the way. There is no prophecy as what these people are saying and having visions and all this new revelation. There is none of that today, and I'm going to show you that. But God spake in times past by the prophets. He did. He used men. He used these different tools, and they looked different, and they were given a different ministry. I'm glad I don't have the ministry of Jeremiah. I praise the Lord I'm not the weeping prophet, although we should shed a tear once in a while. If you'll look over at 1 Peter, and yes, I have it remarked, so I'll wait. 1 Peter, many of you probably already know this verse by heart. But we talk about prophecy, and he said there in Hebrews that he in times past by the prophets. What kind of prophets are we talking about, and what kind of prophecy are we talking about? Again, different instruments. If you look there in chapter 1 and verse 21, for prophecy came not in old time, so not today, back then. Prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we have the doctrine of illumination by the Holy Spirit. It says that they were moved. That word literally means driven. Just like if I'm driving this pen, I mean, I am driving it. Am I not? Is this pen actually having any illumination on the subject? It's not, is it? It's just being used. It's not being... I'm losing the word I'm thinking. This prophecy is driven or moved by the will of God. It's the same word, that word. So we see through Scripture that these men, what were they speaking of in 1 Peter? What were they speaking of? Or 2 Peter, I'm sorry. What are they speaking of? We see these men all the way. We've seen it in Genesis and in Sunday school. We're seeing them talk about Jesus Christ. I mean, we saw it in Genesis 1:1. We see Jesus all throughout the Old Testament. So they're talking about, I mean, we see, you don't have to go very far, all over in the Psalms, all over in Isaiah about Christ's birth. I mean, we even hear the virgin birth. We don't even have to get past Genesis 3 to know there's a virgin birth. It's in the prophets. His death, burial, and resurrection. Boy, go to Psalms 19 and Psalms 22. These Psalms are completely about the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. Hundreds and hundreds of years before. His return throughout is not just in Revelations, by the way. Go read the book of Zechariah. Wow. I mean, we see that God was speaking to these prophets of his future kingdom, Old Testament, New Testament. It's all there, the future of Israel in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And here's an interesting note. Two-thirds of the Bible's prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. But because you and I turn on the news and we see it fulfilled, is not a new prophecy. It's not anything new. We have the completed a book in front of us. But you and I, if we live long enough, we're seeing prophecy fulfilled. Now, it was before my day, but maybe some of you were alive when Israel became a state in one day. You know what? That day is spoken of in the Bible. It's prophesied. You actually saw a prophecy fulfilled from an Old Testament prophet. where God gave them prophecy. When, though, did he quit speaking through prophecy? This is important. And this is something you ought to mark in your Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, well, I like preaching 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because you can't tell me you believe in tongues after we read 1 Corinthians 13 or these false prophecies. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't mark your Bible, I encourage you to, and color code it so you don't confuse yourself. I run out of pen colors. Okay, as it's important. Some chapters I don't have marked quite that much, but that chapter is covered. So we're talking about when did God quit speaking through the prophets? Now we have, let me back up for a minute. There are two prophesyings in the Bible. Two prophesying, the word is used the same, but it doesn't mean the same thing. There are two different meanings of the word prophesy. One is that I'm forthtelling, and one is I'm foretelling. Foretelling is I'm foretelling, like John foretold in Revelation, he's foretelling the last days. He's foretelling the end of times. So that is what many people get confused with today. They think that they have the gift of prophecy when they don't even understand what the gift of prophecy is. The gift of prophecy today is foretelling or forthtelling. All I'm doing tonight is prophesying. It's called preaching. I'm forthtelling what the book already says. I didn't come up with it. It's nothing new. I didn't design it. I didn't write it. And God didn't give it to me. He did give me the whole book, but this is not my idea. This is not original idea. God didn't say, write this down tonight, because what we're fixing to read is brand new. Remember what I said Sunday? If it's brand new, it's not true. And if you got somebody coming up with some new vision, they got indigestion, or they took too much medication, or they need to go to the mental health, something. If they're having visions, that's not of God. Now, do they see some strange things? Yes, they do. You know why? I used to make fun of Joseph Smith and what a liar he was. Nowadays, after studying the scripture a long time, I begin to realize that the devil is real. And he's still alive and well today. And he can make you see some things that can make you question yourself and your own sanity. It doesn't mean that you didn't see it. But I'm telling you, if it's not according to Scripture, it's not a God. And when an angel named Moroni floats tablets down from heaven saying you need a new revelation, I'm going to show you tonight where that's contrary to God's word. So he ought to automatically recognize this is of the devil. And you and I ought to beware, because in the last days, oh yeah, we're in the last days and we're in it. By the way, the last day started when Jesus ascended to heaven. And we've been in them ever since. So anyway, we're back to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail or cease to exist. That's the foretelling prophecy. It says it's going to stop. So in other words, there are no new books or lost books of the Bible, by the way. Why? Because God said so right there. He said, prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. What do we have with that today? About 80% of our churches in our town believe in some form of tongues. I'm not being mean, but folks, it's not scriptural. It says right there, it shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But look what it says. Now, remember, prophecies shall cease. For we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So he tells us, it's very simple, what was in part? What was in part? Prophesying. When that which is in part shall be done away. Well, that which is perfect is come. It has come, and it's right there. We have it. The completed, front to back, infallible Word of God. And when that canon was completed, there's never been another prophecy. At least that's what my Bible says, and I'll go with that. You may not like that, but that's what it says. It says, when that which is perfect is come. What's perfect? According to Psalms 12, 6, and 7, this is it. This is it. Now, the other versions are going to rewrite that verse, I guarantee you, and I don't want you to go looking it up, but they are. They rewrite Psalms 12, 6, and 7 because it undermines their need for another version. So when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part prophesying or foretelling is done away. Now, the other subject there, and this is just a commercial, but the other subject there is tongues. The chapter 12, 13, and 14 is on tongues. But look what verse 11 says. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. What's the subject? Tongues. It was never for a mature Christian, and I don't want to get into that. We've already talked about that in Sunday school class, haven't we? It was for lost people, and it was for Jews. That's it. So when you got somebody proclaiming the name of Christ, and by the way, if you don't believe me, it's 1 Corinthians 1:22, if you want to look it up later. Somebody proclaiming the name of Christ and then fall down and bark like a dog or cluck like a chicken or say they're speaking in the tongues of angels, I'm telling you, according to Scripture, God said that was the least of the gifts. If you look at the list of the gifts, it's always at the end. Why? Because it's going to be done away with first. Because when that which is perfect is come, I put away childish things, the simplistic things. And in many times when gifts are spoken of, tongues isn't even in there. Because God knew men were going to get confused on some of these things. Anyway, we got to keep moving. So we have prophesying, and when did God quit speaking in a prophesying or foretelling way? When the Scripture was completed. There is no new revelation. Please get that in your head. Not being mean to our Mormon neighbors, but they have to have new revelation on a regular basis. The guy that's in charge of them is called the prophet. And whatever indigestion he wakes up with that day, he can have a new revelation. And it is as the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad I don't have to worry about how somebody wakes up in the morning. I got it, right? Amen? Church of Christ Science. Another cults. And I could mention some, and you can mention many too. I'm going to tell you, these cults, and there's not a nice way to put it, but they're cults. How do I know that? They have a different founder than Jesus Christ. They have to have a new revelation or an additional writing and included with the Word of God. And most of the time they change that. You go to David Koresh, he fulfills all those things. You go to Jim Jones, he fulfills all those things. I mean, they have special revelation. And a lot of people died when they had special revelation. I'm telling you, the Word of God is not, if we just know the Word of God, like I said Sunday night, you do err by not knowing the Scripture. Man, I'll tell you what, just knowing the Scripture keep us out of Jonestown. Just knowing Scripture keeps us out of a lot of trouble. Now, I want to show you another verse over in Revelations. But you got to hurry because I got it marked. Revelations in chapter 22. Now, listen. If you don't have this verse marked in your Bible, you ought to. And I'm going to tell you why. Because we have many people saying that God is speaking to them through new revelation and different things. And they're adding to and taking away from the Word of God so that they can make their truth sounds sensible. I mean, I don't understand. And by the way, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, but if you think that you're going to go to another planet somewhere someday and be the God like Adam was God on earth, is that confusing? And ladies, you're going to be eternally pregnant to populate the planet? That's Mormonism, folks. Now, they don't tell, you know, the JV team that. But I'm telling you, when they've been in it so up to here, they realize, what in the world have I got into? Yeah, it's too late now. It's not, praise the Lord. But let me show you, Revelation chapter 22. Amazingly, I've had a JW try to use this verse to contradict me. But let me show you what it says in verse 18. For I testify unto every man. Who's that? Every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And I don't tell you what, that's not a pleasant idea. But look what verse 19 says. That's add to. He's going to add the plagues of the book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Now listen, that's pretty scary stuff. That's as if your name was not even written. That's not the Lamb's book of life. That's as if you never existed. That's a scary thought for to you. Your eternity in God's eyes is, I don't even know who you're talking about. You never were even in the book. Can you imagine opening a book and seeing a bunch of blank pages? But I'm afraid we're going to get to heaven and see a whole lot. So what am I getting at? I want to show you. So my door knocker wanted to share his knowledge of the scripture and how the New World Translation is better than the King James Bible. And by the way, turn to this passage of scripture. And I thought, that passage of scripture does away with everything you believe, what you're trying to point and show me right now. That passage of scripture was written long before the New World Translation. The New World Translation, they didn't even begin on it till 1947. They didn't finish the Old Testament till 1950. And they did not finish a completed Bible until 1961. And guess how many manuscripts there are to support the New World Translation? Not one. But I can show you manuscript after manuscript after manuscript that supports our scripture. Listen, they've only published until 1961. I think that they're a little late on that, on trying to use that text. But how about that first part where, or the second part about taking away? Now adding to, listen, they add a whole lot of stuff. But how about taking away? Now, if you carry a New King James Bible, I don't apologize for what I'm about to tell you because it's the honest truth. Many will say, well, the New King James just takes out the these and the thous, and it's okay because it's the same manuscript as the King James, and so we're on the same sheet of music. No, we're not. It's not even from the same manuscripts as the King James. What a bunch of filthy liars. They used the King James name, and it's not even out of the same manuscripts. And how about taking away? Out of the New King James compared to the King James, 2,289 words are missing. If you, by the way, carry an NIV, 5,219 words are missing. Well, I hope you don't got a Living Bible in here. If you got a Living Bible in here, over 17,000 words are missing. I think that fits Revelation 22 about adding to and taking away. Amen? It does. So, let's look at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Oh, I didn't mark that one. Good thing I know where it's at, huh? Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. It says every word of God is pure. Every word of God. Not every word of man. But every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. I'm not calling anybody a liar. God is. God says, listen, you add to and take away from. How do we get 120 new translations since the new Greek text? That Westcott and Hort, dope-smoking homosexuals, and I'm not trying to be too vivid, but they said they preferred to smoke dope and read Shakespeare than to read the New Testament Bible. That's who wrote the new Greek text that every version but this is from. As opposed to the King James men who only knew, 20 or 30 languages and spoke and wrote Hebrew by the time they were six. And those are pretty genius guys. Listen, God's word proves these Westcott and Hort are liars. They're the biggest liars in the last century outside of Satan himself. And I guarantee you there's a blank spot in the book of life where they're at. Where they're at right now is not a good spot. They're burning in a lake of fire, and we know it. So Revelation is completed when inspired scripture was completed. And we know we have the completed canon of God. There's no mistakes. There's no additions needed. If you need to add something to this, you're wrong, not the Bible. If you're found lacking, not the Bible. If you need more, you need too much, not the Bible. So we have that. Praise the Lord. So does God still speak to us? I mean, we said in times past, He spoke through the prophets and through prophecy and through the giving of Scripture. So how does He speak these days? And He says there in Hebrews, if you're still there, in Hebrews 1, He gives us the answer. Again, I want you to see it because I don't want you to think Brother Guffey made it up. Hath from these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Aren't you glad we got Jesus? We don't need Joseph Smith. I'm glad we got Jesus. We don't need Mary Baker Eddy. Aren't you glad we got Jesus? We don't need Alexander Campbell or Charles Ray Taze Russell. We don't need all these false prophets because we got Jesus. And it says there that He speaks to us in these days by His Son. So how does He do that? And that's, I'm glad you ask. As per prophecy, He speaks to us through His death, burial, and resurrection. The New Testament. Spoken unto us by His Son. Resurrection and ascension, that speak pretty loudly. I mean, there were hundreds of witnesses who saw Jesus, heard Him preach after the resurrection, before the ascension. Paul goes on and lists how many of them there were. 500 at one time, and all the apostles and all these different ones. So Jesus, His resurrection and ascension speaks pretty loudly to us. It says today, in the last days, He spoke to us by His Son. Now, Paul, on the Damascus Road, I think that was pretty loud speaking there. A little bright, too. Blinded him. Peter, listen, the canon's not finished yet, remember. Paul heard an audible voice of Jesus Christ. Why? How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. Peter was, the Lord spoke to Peter in vision and in dreams. Why? How do I know that? Because the Bible says so. He spoke to John in an apocalyptic vision, in the book of Revelation. So we know that God still, before the Bible, but after the Old Testament, was still talking to man, but in a different way. Now, if you have a vision today, I'm telling you, go to the doctor. Or quit smoking it. But if you're having a vision today, listen, the devil is real. And he's a tricky dog. He's been around since day one. He knows what makes your clock tick. And he knows what, I've had Christians tell me, well, I've had this vision. No, you haven't. No. You have not. You may have had a daydream, but I'm telling you, it was not God talking to you. It may have been the devil talking to you, and you better beware. How do I know that? Because the Bible said so. The Bible says so. That's pretty simple. If you're having a vision today, or you think you're seeing something squirrely, you might be. But I'm telling you, it's of the devil, not of God. How do I know it? Because the Bible says so. And that settles it for me. So, spoken unto us through Jesus Christ, everything we need to know, everything you and I need to know to go through tomorrow is in Jesus. It's not in another revelation. It's not in another book. It's not in a whatever. It's Jesus. So you ought to know and you ought to study Jesus. You ought to know what Christ says, what Christ gave us. So since, now here's another line. Since the scripture was completed, how does God talk to us? I'm glad he didn't quit talking to us, amen? He just talks to us in a different way. There's no more in part. I have the whole thing. Praise the Lord. I don't have a partial scripture to understand. Can you imagine? Isaiah or Moses, they didn't have the New Testament, but they trusted God. Listen, we have a completed Word of God when that which is perfect is come. I want you to look over at John chapter 14. We got a lot to go in 3 minutes. John chapter 14. So how does God speak to us today? He uses the completed Word of God. The Word, John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, Jesus Christ, the Word. So he speaks to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. And so we have the completed Word of God. And now, how do I read this and understand this? Say, man, I just can't understand that. Maybe you need to get saved. I'm not being mean, but a lost person cannot understand that book. You know why? It's a spiritual book. And if you're to understand a spiritual book, a lost person's spirit's dead. Dead in trespasses and sins. They don't have it. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, Jesus Christ sends the Holy Spirit to indwell you, and you have an indwelling Holy Spirit of God. The same one we all have. You don't have a different one than me, by the way. We all have the same one. And the Holy Spirit of God helping me understand a spiritual book. Now, God can speak to me through the Holy Spirit illuminating the perfect Word of God. John 14. In verse 26, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name," he, by the way, notice all the personal pronouns. It's not an it, it's a he. "In my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth you." And I'm telling you that these other revelations and these other translations and all this other gobbledygook that the devil wants to get out there does not give you peace. It gives you works. You got to have this and that and this and that and in addition to grace. No. Grace and grace alone. Aren't you glad? Look there. He says, how do I understand? Look at chapter 15. We got to hurry. Chapter 15 and verse 26. "But when the Comforter," the Holy Spirit, we already heard who that was, "is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." That's important. You ought to underline that. He does never testify of himself. By the way, that's important doctrine. It'll come up later, I'm sure. I get ahead of myself. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit is a mess in churches today. But that verse right there eliminates a lot of it. The only thing that the Holy Spirit testifies of is Jesus Christ. Never himself. All this, the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit. Hey, how about Jesus? The Holy Spirit doesn't talk about the Holy Spirit. He talks about Jesus. Let's just talk about Jesus. But praise the Lord, we do got a Holy Spirit. Amen. You're on the same page. Maybe I am. Chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, look what it says. He will guide you in all truth, and He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. That is pre-authentication of inspiration. Now, that's a lot of doctrine there. Pre-authenticated, Jesus Himself pre-authenticated the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Okay, we're there. So, Scripture is how God speaks to us. Holy Spirit illuminating by the Spirit that indwells me as a Christian. Without it, I cannot understand Scripture. It's a spiritual book. But the other way that God speaks to us too is through Scripture and prayer. And prayer and Scripture. And Scripture and prayer. And again, if you think that you're in your prayer time that God gave you something new, stop. It's the devil. God's never going to show you something new in a prayer that's not already in this book. And if a preacher gets up here and tells you something new, and it's not in that book, listen, I know it could be new to you because none of us probably have it all memorized. But if it's a new doctrine, it's not right. So God uses prayer. God the Son intercedes for us in our prayer to the Father. And He uses scriptures that, you know what? He uses scriptures that we've hidden in our heart. That I might not sin against thee. That's how God talks to us. Through Scripture. Scripture. You do err by not knowing Scripture. We need to know Scripture. I got to have mercy on the nursery workers. Present day prophecy, I'd love to go through the fulfillment of prophecies as God is speaking to us every day. But many of us, many times, are willingly ignorant of God's Word. We got it, we read it, but we're willingly ignorant. Many of us sometimes can't hear because we're forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's Scripture. I forsake preaching of the Word. And that means I'm willingly ignorant. I want to hear God speaking to me today. Listen, I need to be in prayer and I need to be in Word of God. There is no other, there is no third option. Prayer and the Word of God. There is no other individual than Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit testifying of Him and pointing towards Him. Never this way, always that way. So let's beware, and I'm going to stop here. Maybe. Beware in the last days. Write this verse down, you can read it later. Beware in the last days, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 11, 23 and 24. Talking about in the last days that there are many false Christs coming. Well, I preached on all the different Jesuses there are, and I got a firestorm of upset people. My Bible says there's more than one Jesus, by the way. Jesus said there's more than one Jesus. He says there's false Jesuses. There's false Christs. And they are coming in the last days. When did that start? When Jesus ascended to heaven. There were already false Christs in the New Testament church in the first century. They already begun. So we better beware. Know your Scripture. So I'm going to ask you this question. God is still speaking today, but are you listening? God is still speaking today. It's not through some crazy revelation. Maybe God is calling you. The Bible says that no man comes unto the Father that's not called. Maybe God's calling you to salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, I guarantee you Jesus is calling you. I guarantee you, because of what I stand on in the Word of God, that if you're not saved tonight, God is talking to you right now through His Scripture, and He's saying, I want you to become my child. Amen. I can guarantee you that. I'll face the Lord on for that one. Because I know that's right. But maybe tonight God's calling you to service as a Christian, to serve Him through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, that conviction you come under when an invitation's given and you're hanging onto the pew for dear life like it's going to keep you out of the fires of hell or something? That just keeps you from serving God. It keeps you from getting saved. It keeps you from, you got to let go and let God. Maybe God's calling you as a Christian to serve Him. That's the Holy Spirit convicting us. Aren't you glad you have a Holy Spirit? Listen, if you can live in sin and you're not ever coming under conviction, you need to get saved. How does the Holy Spirit of God indwell me and I go live like the devil and never have a problem with it? Something's wrong with my salvation. I'm not saying you need to get saved again every time you sin, because Christians sin. Ask Paul. He said he was the chiefest of sinners. Jesus doesn't fall out of your pocket, though, when you sin. But if you have no conviction, you could just sin without it bothering you one bit, you probably need to get saved. Because if you're saved, the Holy Spirit of God's going to prick your heart. That's God talking to you, folks. It's not an audible voice. It's a, hey, wake up. I indwell you, and look where you're dragging me. It's hard to listen, and I'll stop maybe with this. It's hard to listen when I do all the talking. My wife tells me that all the time. And it's the gospel. If I'm talking all the time, I don't hear what she says, you didn't hear what I said. Oh, were you talking? You know, we do that to God. We do that exact thing to God in church every Sunday. That we do not listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Were you talking to me? Oh, yeah, it's because I was running my mouth the whole time in church or playing on my phone or whatever. Here's the second one, running to and fro. I didn't get to read all those verses about the end times and Daniel's, but listen, if you're running to and fro and you're too busy for God, you're too busy. That's all there is. If you're too busy for God, you are too busy. You need to cut something else besides God out. The Bible says the cares of this world choke a Christian to death. And then that being tossed to and fro, listening to false doctrine, listen. Listen to the Word of God. And quit trying to get Benny Hinn to give you the truth. That guy's so lost, he will know Jesus until the day of judgment, and then he will know exactly who he is, but it will be too late. You don't need a TV evangelist to tell you who Jesus is. You need the Word of God, and you need preaching of the Word of God. And I'm still late. Let's stop there. Let's stand to our feet. Lord, thank you for the day. Thank you for the Word of God that we can trust. And Lord, I know there's so many other things we could go and go and go, but your word is, it's never runs out of truth. We can never over-preach a subject. But Lord, I thank you for giving us the word that we can hear you speak by reading your words. Your son that you have given us through the son, and that he has sent us the Holy Spirit to give us understanding and discernment of the Word of God so that you can speak to us clearly through the Word of God. Lord, I pray we'd not neglect our Bibles this week. We'd spend some time in the Word and in prayer so we cannot say, God, I just don't hear you. Help us to spend time in the Word of God this week. Thank you for everyone that's here, Lord. I thank you for their faithfulness, desire to hear the Word of God. I pray that you bless them for being in your house tonight. In Christ's name I pray, Lord. Amen.